Howard, you know the old saying, these are the best of times, the worst of times, for all of us financially. Where are we?
Well, we're in the best of times and the worst of times, I think. I think you put it very well indeed. I think the essence of the story is that I'm an optimist. I really am. I'm considered to be a gloomy pessimist because I wrote that How to Prosper During the Coming Bad Years, and everybody ignored the How to Prosper part and talked about the coming bad years. But I'm an optimist, and an optimist, in my opinion, is one who sees silver linings in dark clouds. And right now, we're running into some dark clouds where the traditional way of life, the traditional investments, are not going to be working for a few years. But there are silver linings and golden linings in those dark clouds. And I think that it's times like this, when we're moving into really important turning points that much of the world will consider negative, certainly Wall Street will consider it negative, is an opportunity to build fortunes. There are fortunes that are built in the worst of times.
And that's the key to all of this. You got to know when to pounce. You got to know when to hold back. It's almost like a good poker game, isn't it?
Well, it takes guts. It really does. And there's a lot of self-confidence involved. And so I've always been attracted to those people who are willing to be mavericks, who are willing to go left when everybody's looking right. And I think the essence of what I'm dealing with now, where I'm right now, for example, I'm bearish on real estate. But heck, there's some real opportunities there and some good things to do, even though I believe the bubble's bursting.
Well, when you say bearish but good opportunities, how do we know, people without a lot of experience here, how do we know the good deals from the bad ones?
Well, it's not so much opportunities in terms of good deals. It's what are you going to do with the house you live in? In the last few years when the Federal Reserve brought the interest rates down to near zero, boy, there was an orgy of people refinancing and taking the money by borrowing against their cash, and which was inflating people buying bigger houses and inflating real estate. And consequently, the bubble blew up to the point that where people found themselves that they had created a serious problem for themselves. For example, a large percentage of all those mortgages were ARMs, adjustable rate mortgages.
Right.
Where if interest rates go up, up go mortgage payments. They were borrowing right up to the hilt. And then if the price of real estate drops, they're going to find themselves in trouble. So what do you do with that? Is there an opportunity here? Sure. The real opportunity is to protect yourself. And I think you protect yourself by converting that ARM and those interest rate only mortgages into fixed rate mortgages so that your interest rates your mortgage rates can't go up with interest rates. And also, there's going to be a time when if you own rental properties, you're going to find it's a good time because a lot of people are going to be renting. A lot of people are not going to be buying houses. A much higher percentage are going to be foreclosing and needing to rent.
Would you buy foreclosed property right now, Howard, if you were investing for real estate?
Only if I got a heck of a deal, because I think real estate prices are going to come down a lot lower. You know, I'll buy anything if it's cheap enough. I'll sell anything if it's expensive enough. And I don't believe it's cheap enough. Right now, we're still near the peak. When these real estate bubbles burst, there are some signs it's bursting. There are things that happen. For example, the listing books get thicker, takes longer to sell a home, and so forth. And the last thing that happens is the price has actually come down, even though people are taking longer and longer to sell their homes. Why? Because they have trouble believing that their home is not worth as much now as it was last month. Consequently, falling prices are the last thing to happen. For example, let's take Southern California. Southern California has been in a horrendous real estate boom. I mean, people have doubled the value of their homes in 2 or 3 years.
I moved out there in 2003, and I got to tell you, the price of a house there compared to St. Louis, where I go back and forth, absolutely unbelievable. The difference, I can't count it. It's so high.
Well, the important thing is that this is not a time to be buying real estate. This is a time to be waiting for bargains. And I believe that it's going to create opportunity with much lower prices as they get back into some kind of sanity. And the interesting thing to remember about markets, and this is a principle I've learned of my 30 years in this business, when things get out of proportion either way, when they turn around and go the other way, then they move to excess, in direct proportion to how far they were in excess on the other end. For example, if prices go too high, well, then fine. When they go down, they'll probably go down far enough to be too low.
And how do you know that, Howard? How do you know when to jump in? You know, a lot of people may say, okay, I believe Howard Ruff. I'm going to buy a place when the prices start to drop. How do you know when the bottom is going to hit?
Well, you don't. All you can do is hope to be near. You know, it's like Baron Rothschild said when he was talking about markets, the way to get rich, he said, you can have the first 20% of a market and the last 20%, and I'll take my 60% in the middle. I don't know where the actual bottom is. I do know, and my experience in the business and tells me that has honed my instincts to the point where it's almost like something you can almost feel. But I will tell you this, when the listing books get thinner, when homes are selling quickly and not taking very long, then you know that the markets are ready to turn around and go up. When the listing books are getting thicker and it's taking longer and longer to sell a home, well, then you know they're going to head down.
Well, that's true. Well, the stock market yet is an indicator that we're in trouble in the real estate market. It's gone over 11,000. It's at its highest rates ever. When is that going to slow down?
No. It's not at its highest rate ever. There's a number to remember, and it's 11,650.
All right.
Now, that was the all-time high. And when the stock market is in a bear market, it's going to last for probably an average of about 13 years, and have been going since 2000. Now, during bear markets, oftentimes the markets will come back and challenge the previous highs. The measure, I remember everybody was all excited about the so-called psychological barrier of 11,000. The stock market rose above it. That was important. No, it wasn't important. The important measure from a technical analysis point of view is, will it go to new highs that are confirmed by utilities and transports? And so this market is a long way from seeing those things happen, not a long way from seeing the new high, but a long way from the confirmations. It's not going to shake me out. I still believe we're in a bear market. I don't believe we're going to see new highs that are confirmed by these other indexes. Consequently, I'm hanging in there because I believe that this market is headed for somewhere around 4,000 on the Dow Jones, not 11,000.
4,000?
Yeah, sure.
And that's almost a collapse, isn't it?
Nope. That's just historically, when you've had a bear market, the you have to get down to where price-earnings ratios are near what has historically been the bottom of bear markets. If when the average price-earnings ratio for that market reaches that point, the Dow will be around 4,000. And don't think that's impossible. For example, NASDAQ, that's bigger than the New York Stock Exchange now. When NASDAQ is down 55% from its highs of 2000. I mean, the world didn't end. It's just a lot of people got hurt, and the dot-com stocks are dot-gone.